The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Been an interesting week in terms of international diplomacy. US Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth launched a pretty scathing attack on the US media for its reporting of the US strikes on Iran, saying their cheering against President Donald Trump is in their DNA. It followed reporting earlier this week on a leaked intelligence assessment that said that US strikes set back the Iranian nuclear program, but only by a matter of months. That came despite Donald Trump's claims it had been obliterated. This was the rather remarkable exchange between Pete Hegseth and the press yesterday.
Because you, and I mean specifically you, the press, specifically you, the press corps, because you cheer against Trump so hard, it's like in your DNA and in your blood to cheer against Trump, because you want him not to be successful so bad, you have to cheer against the efficacy of these strikes. You have to hope maybe they weren't effective. Maybe the way the Trump administration has represented them isn't true. So let's take half-truths, spun information, leaked information, and then spin it. Spin it in every way we can to try to cause doubt and manipulate the mind, the public mind, over whether or not our brave pilots were successful. How about we talk about how special America is, that only we have these capabilities? I think it's too much to ask, unfortunately, for the fake news. So we're used to that. But we also have an opportunity to stand at the podium and read the truth of what's really happening. And the reality is, you want to call it destroyed, you want to call it defeated, you want to call it obliterated, choose your word. This was an historically successful attack, and we should celebrate it as Americans. And it gives us a chance to have peace, chance to have a deal, and an opportunity to prevent a nuclear Iran, which is something President Trump talked about for 20 years, and no other presidents had the courage to actually do.
And it went on like that for a bit. That scolding of the media from a man who was once in the media. With us in studio now this morning is John O'Brien, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He's in Dublin for the inaugural event for the Law Society's Centre for Justice and Law Reform Summer School. John, good morning. Thank you very much for joining
us.
But you're listening to that is the Secretary of Defense, one of the most senior positions in the US government. What's been your reaction to that and events that have played out this week?
Well, I think Mr. Hegseth's criticism of the media is quite unfair. I think there's broad recognition that the US military carried out the operation against these Iranian facilities flawlessly. That's not in question. And I think the media has, in fact, acknowledged that. The question is, how much has the Iranian nuclear program been set back? How much destruction actually took place in these underground facilities, particularly at Fordo? And I think we still don't know. It's undetermined at this point exactly how extensive that damage was. I know Donald Trump says that it was obliterated, but and yes, the ventilation shafts seem to have been collapsed and a number of other aspects of it there, but we don't know the disposition of the highly enriched uranium that the Iranians had fabricated. We don't know whether or not some of these facilities can be, in fact, reconstituted. So again, I think that's the question. How extensive and how prolonged will the setback be?
There's been an interesting run of events this week, and I'm going to do them in reverse order if I can, because the NATO summit was the most remarkable thing. You had the head of NATO, Mark Rutte, the former Dutch prime minister, referring to the US president as daddy.
That's shocking.
Yeah. Could you contextualize that, please?
I wish I could. Clearly, I think they recognize that the United States is the big player within NATO and really has to make sure that the United States is going to continue to support NATO fully. But I think there also needs to be recognition that the NATO countries, the European countries, really need to be able to move forward with their defense capabilities, which they are doing. They're improving capabilities. They're increasing the budgets for it. But again, I don't think there should be genuflections to Donald Trump on this in this regard.
But it does seem to be that they've decided that the only way to do this is to quite literally be sycophantic to the president, speak in the language that they know he won't respond negatively to. They're effectively just sucking up to him all the time in the hope that he doesn't say something nasty.
Well, he obviously does enjoy being flattered, but I just think more flattery that's given to him, the more he expects it. And so it's very unfortunate. And whether it's U.S. officials, you know, members of his own Republican Party and foreign leaders, the more sycophantic they are, again, I think it reinforces some of his worst tendencies.
When we look at what happened on Sunday, which was the first significant intervention in Iranian affairs by the U.S. military in a long time, if you were to be kind of, if you were to step back from it, could you say that Donald Trump's decisions did have an impact, that the conflict that Israel had started, Iran started first and then Israel got involved, that it did settle it?
It hasn't been settled at all, the whole issue of the Iranian nuclear program and whether or not Iran is going to be able to, in fact, continue to enrich uranium, whether or not the nuclear program, the nuclear weapons program, which has been suspended since 2003, whether they might decide to restart it now in light of the recent attacks. But it's clear that Bibi Netanyahu has long wanted to do as much destruction as possible to the Iranian nuclear program. And when he started this exchange with Iran, I think he fully anticipated that he would need the United States to come in, because Israel doesn't have the capability to carry out these deep underground strikes. This is what the United States is able to do with these deep penetrating bombs, what we call massive ordnance penetrators, which were delivered by the B-2s. And so I do believe that Netanyahu started this anticipating and expecting that he was going to be able to convince Donald Trump to come in. And I think Bibi Netanyahu was correct in that expectation.
But it certainly happened. The approach of Israel, it's been a very aggressive stance on Gaza. We know what the reason why they moved into Gaza.
Ruthless.
Yeah. The Americans have been very supportive of Israel, despite the obvious destruction in Gaza. Can you understand that? Because a lot of people who are listening here can't understand why America isn't standing up to Israel more on the issue of what they're doing in Gaza now.
Well, I think there are a lot of Americans that would like the United States government to stand up to Israel more because of the destruction that is taking place in Gaza and the very aggressive military actions and operations that the Israelis have conducted there. I think for too long, we have been too tolerant of some of these very aggressive Israeli policies. Whether you're talking about military operations in Gaza or increased settlement activity in the West Bank, other types of restrictions on Palestinian rights and liberties, the fact that Bibi Netanyahu doesn't want to pursue any type of process that would lead to Palestinian self-determination, I think that's very disappointing to a lot of Americans. It's particularly disappointing to me. I've been to Gaza and West Bank numerous times, and I do see the suffering of the Palestinian people. And Israel, as the stronger party, I think, can make the concessions that are necessary. But unfortunately, it's at a state now where it's really difficult to see how we're going to get out of this morass in Gaza.
What's the end game? And what do you think is ultimately what Israel wants to? I mean, they want Gaza not to be there, and Donald Trump has given the option of perhaps the Americans taking over. And there's a whole lot that has been suggested. What do you think the end game
is? I think they're going to try to reduce the footprint of Palestinians in Gaza. And so they're going to collapse some of these areas. They're going to have extended buffer zones along the border with Israel. They're going to continue to limit what the Palestinians can do inside of Gaza. I think as far as the West Bank is concerned, they're going to continue to put in place very oppressive security practices and procedures there. Bibi Netanyahu and his right-wing coalition really do not want to allow the Palestinian Authority or any Palestinian governing body to be able to flourish. And I think a lot of Americans were very pleased when we saw that Ireland recognized the Palestinian state and has taken a very hard line against Israel. But it's unfortunate that the situation over the last many decades has deteriorated to such an extent.
Let's go back to your relationship with Donald Trump. It's fair to say, John,
I don't have a relationship with Donald Trump.
He doesn't like you.
That's putting it mildly, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's both ways, isn't it?
Well, I don't like what he's done. I don't like the policies that he's implementing inside of the United States. I don't like his approach to international affairs in terms of he's receding from that global footprint that the United States has had for many years. What he has done with U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, I think has been devastating to people in Africa and other places. So, yes, I'm not an admirer at all of what Donald Trump has done, again, either on the domestic front or the international front.
What do you think is the impact that he is having on the international impression of the United States? Because I can tell you from in this country, people don't want to go there anymore. You know, students don't want to go on their J1. Not all of them, but a lot of people are having second thoughts. The reputational damage that he's causing, do you think he cares?
It doesn't seem as though he is bothered by a lot of the negative criticism of his policies. But I do agree that I think the reputation of the United States has been tarnished as a result of some of these policies in terms of closing down some of, you know, the student visa process, the actions against various universities in the United States, actions against undocumented workers in the United States. Again, I think these are all aggressive policies that seem to be antithetical to what I think people around the world have traditionally thought of as American values and what America represents. And I think we are, you know, regressing from that previous position.
Is there a threat to U.S. democracy as we understand it?
I think we're certainly sliding toward more authoritarian tendencies, particularly given that Donald Trump is also flouting a number of aspects of the rule of law and is challenging a number of the judiciary rulings and other things. And again, these policies are rather unprecedented. His deployment of the National Guard into California, despite the fact that the California governor said that they could take care of it. I think Donald Trump is demonstrating that he has so much authority and power, and he's going to exercise it irrespective of what the reaction is going to be.
Do you have an understanding of why he does what he does? Because it changes quite literally week to week. But is there an overall plan that he has that he sees as America first, but nobody else can quite understand what that is?
Well, he's amassed tremendous political power. He looks at the world through a rather unique prism. It's a financial prism. It's, you know, he had a family business for many years. He looks at it from the standpoint of the economics of it. And he's not really schooled in a lot of, you know, America's history as well as the global affairs. So he tends to be rather instinctual in terms of what he does. Some people would say reckless. But again, it's to demonstrate that he can do what he wants, again, irrespective of any guardrails or norms that might have been out there.
You were the CIA director under Barack Obama. I'm presuming that you had to have a robust relationship with the president and engage with him on a level where you could possibly stand up to him ever so slightly. Do you think Donald Trump has anyone like that around him now?
No. And first of all, he's been very dismissive of any type of intelligence assessment that might be at odds with what his policy preferences are.
We saw that just this week.
Yeah. I was very fortunate to work with Barack Obama. I felt as though our North Stars were very much aligned. Barack Obama recognized the U.S. role in the world and was really trying to advance not just American interests, but global interests in terms of peace and security. He valued all lives, not just American lives. And therefore, again, it was a privilege for me to work for somebody like Barack Obama, as I worked for other previous U.S. presidents. And unfortunately, I think the policies that are coming out of the Trump administration are very much at odds with what traditionally the United States has tried to do, as well as what our reputation has been globally.
Ireland has always maintained a position that we are formally neutral. We are members of the European Union, and it reflected a different world order, a time where the threats were somewhat different. Do you think that Ireland can continue that policy, given how interconnected we are to Europe and indeed to the United States? We're outside of NATO, but if something happens, we call NATO to defend us. Is that sustainable?
I'd like to think that it is. And from my perspective, I think Ireland has a very good reputation, you know, among those individuals who are looking at the world sort of objectively. Ireland has taken some very, you know, principled stands. And I think it's important to do. And people shouldn't just follow a U.S. lead because the Trump administration is going down a certain path. And so I'd like to think that Ireland is going to continue to maintain those principles that are going to govern its policies, both domestically as well as internationally.
We're talking a little bit later about defense spending here. We know that defense spending has increased quite dramatically. We have an awful lot of infrastructure that passes either through our territorial waters or near our territorial waters. We haven't invested in our military, should we?
Well, I think you need to invest in your infrastructure because, as you point out, the world is so interconnected and there's so much that Ireland is connected to, particularly in the digital realm. So you have to make sure that you take the appropriate precautions to safeguard your cyber systems and security systems. So, yes, I think Ireland needs to continue to invest in its capabilities in terms of defense and security because there are a lot of individuals, whether it be nation states or others, who are trying to destroy, disable various, you know, parts of the global economy and the global infrastructure.
My children, who are teenagers, were kind of upset last weekend that we were heading towards World War III because, you know, when I think about the halcyon days of my childhood where we had the threat of a Cold War that never materialized, you know, when they see constant updates on their phones about attacks in Iran and Russia in Ukraine and what Russia might do in Europe, how far away are you from that idea that we could have an all-out war?
Well, I don't think we're on the precipice of it at this point. But when I look at the destruction in Ukraine, in Gaza, the devastation in places of Africa, South Sudan, Somalia, wherever else, I mean, the world has a lot of challenges. And unfortunately, we're not addressing some of those underlying causes and conditions that contribute to the violence and conflict. I'd like to think that we're not going to go, you know, to a world war environment where nuclear weapons are going to be considered. This is something that I think is very important for world leaders, whether it be Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, and others, to make sure that they don't go into an escalatory spiral that really could lead to a world conflict.
That the leaders we have now, do you have confidence in them?
I worry. I worry that there's not strategic thought behind a lot of the moves that are being made, whether it be in Washington or Moscow. You know, Xi Jinping, I think, is a very strategic thinker, but yet I do worry about the competition between the United States and China on so many realms. So yeah, it's a very unsettled time.
John Owen Brennan, I have to ask you, that sounds like a very Irish name to me, John.
I am very Irish. I come from Roscommon, and my father was born and raised in Roscommon and worked in Kilkenny and other places. And so I try to come back here as often as I can, usually every year.
Have you come back a lot over the years?
I have. I think this is about maybe, you know, my dozen or 13th trip. I do travel into Ireland on an Irish passport. I'm an Irish citizen, very proud of it. I'm proud of my Irish heritage.
How much of an influence did that have on your career? I mean, you worked in a number of senior government roles in the US, ultimately becoming the director of the CIA. Did the Irish thing help you?
Well, it did, especially since my father told me to never take my American citizenship for granted. He said that he, you know, went to bed hungry many times in Ireland in the 1920s and 1930s. He came to the United States because it was such a land of opportunity, a land of great, tremendous potential. And he said, never take that citizenship for granted. And so it really made me think about public service, which is why I got into government. But again, I am very proud of that Irish heritage, the independence, the principled stands that Ireland has taken. And it's always been idyllic in my mind.
John, you are at the summer school, the inaugural event of the Law Society's Center for Justice and Law Reform. It's Defending Democracy, Legal Responses to Emerging Threats. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in and talk to us today. John O. Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.